Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the eighth canto. It's the canto about the withdrawal of the cosmic creations. And this is chapter 6. The demigods and the demons declare a truce. What? Why? Okay. Alrighty, so this is text number 9 today, but Archita just asked me to read the summary first, so we'll read that. Give us a nice overview of what's going on. So this chapter describes how the Lord appeared before the demigods when they offered him their prayers. Following the advice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods executed a truce with the demons for the purpose of churning nectar from the sea. Because of the prayers offered by the demigods in the previous chapter, Lord Shirodakshaya Vishnu was pleased with the demigods, and thus he appeared before them. The demigods were almost blinded by his transcendental bodily effulgence. At first, therefore, they could not even see any part of his body. After some time, however, when Brahma could see the Lord, he, along with Lord Shiva, began to offer their prayers. Lord Brahma said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being beyond birth and death, is eternal. He has no material qualities, yet he is the ocean of unlimited auspicious qualities. He is subtler than the most subtle. He is invisible, and his form is inconceivable. He is worshipable for all the demigods. Innumerable universes exist within his form, and therefore he is never separated from these universes by time, space, or circumstances. He is the chief and the pradhan. Although he is the beginning, the middle, and the end of material creation, the idea of pantheism conceived by Mayavadi philosophers has no validity. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls the entire material manifestation through his subordinate agent, the external energy. Because of his inconceivable transcendental position, he is always the master of the material energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various forms is always present even within this material world. But the material qualities cannot touch him. One can understand his position only by his instructions as given in the Bhagavad Gita. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Buddhi Yoga means Bhakti Yoga. Only through the process of Bhakti Yoga can one understand the Supreme Lord. When offered prayers by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased. Thus he gave appropriate instructions to all the demigods. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Ajita, unconquerable. Advised the demigods to make a peace proposal to the demons, so that after formulating a truce, the demigods and the demons could churn the ocean of milk. The rope would be the biggest serpent known as Vasuki, and the churning rod would be Mandara Mountain. Poison would also be produced from the churning, but it was to be taken by Lord Shiva, and so there would be no need to fear it. Many other attractive things would be generated by the churning of the Many other attractive things would be generated by the churning, But the Lord warned the demigods not to be captivated by such things. Nor should the demigods be angry if there are some disturbances. After advising the demigods in this way, the Lord disappeared from the scene. So the last paragraph. Following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods established a peace with Maharaj Bali, the king of the demons. Then both the demigods and the demons and the demigods started for the ocean, taking Mandara Mountain with them. Because of the great heaviness of the mountain, the demigods and the demons became fatigued, and some of them actually died. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda. And by his mercy, he brought these demigods and demons back to life. The Lord then lifted the mountain with one of his hands, and placed it on the back of Garuda. The Lord sat on the mountain and was carried to the spot of the churning by Garuda, who placed the mountain in the middle of the sea. Then the Lord asked Garuda to leave that place, because as long as Garuda was present, Vasuki would not come there. Sorry. This is really an amazing story. So let's go back to today's verse. Rupam Taivatat Purusarshabhyajam Shreyo Ritibir Vadika Tantrikena Yogena Datta Sa Nas Trilokan Pashyami Amusmin Uha Vishva Murto. Rupam Tavat Tat Purusar Sabejam Shreyo Riti Birvaidika Tantrikena Yogena Datta Sahanas Trilokan Pashyami Amusmin Hua Vishvamurto. Rupam Taivat Tat Purusarshabhyajam Shreyor Tibir Vaidika Tantrikena Yogena Datta Sahanas Trilokan Pashyami Amusmin Hu Avishvamurto. Rupam Taivat Tat Purusarshabhyajam Shreyor Tibir Vaidika Tantrikena Yogena Datta Sahanas Trilokan Pashyami Amusmin Hua Vishvamurto. Vaishnavis. Rupam, form. Tava, your. Etat, this. Purusha Rishabha, O best of all personalities. Ijam, worshipable. Shreyaha, ultimate auspiciousness. Artibi, by persons who desire. Vaidika, under the direction of Vedic instructions. Tantrikena, realized by the followers of tantras, like Narada Pancharatra. Yogena, by practice of mystic yoga. Dattaha, O Supreme Director. Saha, with. Na, us, the demigods. Trilokan, controlling the three worlds. Pashyami, we see directly. Amusmin, in you. U, O. Ha, completely manifested. Vishvamurtau, in you, who have the universal form. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O best of persons, O Supreme Director, those who actually aspire for supreme good, fortune, worship this form of your lordship, according to the Vedic Tantras. My Lord, we can see all the three worlds in you. Please repeat. O best of persons, O Supreme Director, those who actually aspire for supreme good fortune, worship this form of your lordship, according to the Vedic Tantras. My Lord, we can see all the three worlds in you. Purport. The Vedic mantras say, Yasmin vignate sarvam evam vignatam bhavati. That's from the Mundaka Upanishad 1.3. When the devotee sees the personality of Godhead by his meditation, or when he sees the Lord personally, face to face, he becomes aware of everything within this universe. Indeed, nothing is unknown to him. Everything within this material world is fully manifested to a devotee who has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 4.34 therefore advises, Tadviri pranipatena parisprasnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Lord Brahma is one of these self-realized authorities, Swayambhur Narada Sambhu Kumara Kapilo Muna Manu. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. One must therefore accept the disciplic succession from Lord Brahma, and then one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fullness. Here the word Vishvamurtau indicates that everything exists in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, or one who is able to worship him can see everything in him and see him in everything. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dudanti Swapadanti Kam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakopa Tubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. O best of persons, O supreme director, those who actually aspire for supreme good fortune, worship this form of your lordship according to the Vedic Tantras. My Lord, we can see all the three worlds in you. So in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Mundaka Upanishad, and it's considered to be one of the Vedic Tantras. Also, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be that way, or as Prabhupada quoted, the Narada Pancharatra, which teaches us the activities of devotional service and deity worship. So it's interesting, in the Mundaka Upanishad, there's another verse similar to the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted, actually, from the Bhagavad Gita. And this is from the Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. To learn the transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. The symptoms of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the spiritual master. We have to approach him and perform sacrifice. So the result of sacrifice is described in the Bhagavad Gita, actually the verse, the chapter, the verse that Prabhupada quoted today in the fourth chapter, talks about approaching a spiritual master because he has seen the truth. So unless you approach someone that has seen the truth, how is it possible for us to get the truth? It's not possible to speculate and get it on your own endeavors. Prabhupada condemns this as the demons and the rascal scientists trying to understand Krishna, or even some of the mystic yogis, they think that they're liberated. But because they're not attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, therefore everything that they think is just considered to be useless. Just like this morning, Savas read about how the spiritual master is a transparent via medium. So just like the glasses are a transparent via medium, so I could see you. I can't. You're blurred without this, and then I can see you. It's just the transparent via media that puts things in focus. So there's actually a Chinese art of eye exercise where you just focus on one symbol. You just focus on that symbol, and then after a while, just by focusing on that one thing, your vision is corrected. So just see, if you can just focus on this one thing, this one point, Krishna, then you'll understand everything. Everything it's described here. Not only just, you know, spiritual knowledge, but everything, material knowledge. All knowledge is revealed. And this is the whole purpose of sacrifice, is to get real knowledge, the truth. That's what it says, approach a spiritual master, you know, to get the truth. What is this truth? It's transcendental knowledge. What's that transcendental knowledge? It's about Krishna, the supreme form, Krishna. And then there's another couple quotes. Of course, we read this quote in the verse. from the Mundaka Upanishad. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers, one can understand everything else. And then there's another nice quote from the same Upanishad. The Lord and the living entity are compared to two birds sitting in a tree. While the illusioned living entity eats the fruits of the mature world, the Lord is a super soul and best friend, witnesses these activities. So this is the kindness of Krishna. He's there with us, fulfilling all our desires. So we have to be careful what we desire, because Krishna may fulfill them. Of course, it's according to what we desire and what we deserve, Srila Prabhupada says. So we could change our desires by changing our activities. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada came and engaged our activities in devotional service, which is the Vedic Tantras. So they're so purifying that by engaging activities, you could change your consciousness. You could change your thoughts, your mindset. Rewiring your mindset. This is what we're doing, to actually tune in and wire it into Krishna. Because these activities that the one bird is experiencing in the tree, trying to enjoy the fruits, they're actually not the activities of the soul. The soul is completely different from the body. Just as aromas, they're distinct from the material vehicle, the air, which is carrying them. So similarly, the soul is actually unattached to anything material. But you can't understand this. It can't even be considered without the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and His spiritual master. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes this Mundaka Upanishad 1.3 so many times throughout his books. Every time. That just because if you just understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can automatically understand everything else. But because great scholars, scientists, philosophers, they don't take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, they're always bewildered. They're confused. There's another quote in the Srila Prabhupada's books where he refers to this same verse from the Mundaka Upanishad 1.3. This is what he says. According to this Vedic injunction, simply by understanding Krishna, one can understand Brahman, Paramatma, Prakriti, the illusory energy, the spiritual energy, and everything else. Everything will be revealed. Prakriti, the material nature, is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and we living entities are being carried away by various phases of Prakriti. So, for self-realization, one should always remember Krishna. As stated in the Padma Purana, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, we should always remember Lord Vishnu. Vismartavyo na jatuchit. We should never forget the Lord. That's the perfection of life. Just that one thing, just remember Krishna. Always remember me, never forget me. This is Krishna. Another analogy used is that just like if you want to study the earth, then you naturally, just understanding the earth, you understand all its different byproducts. So if you understand the original cause of everything, Krishna, the cause of all causes, then naturally everything else will be understood. Although it's presented in many different varieties, but if you just understand the cause of those different varieties, then you understand everything. So Prabhupada refers to this chapter, we touched on that a little bit, about just trying to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. You inquire from him submissively. You render service to him. This realized soul, he can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen it. He's seen the truth. Because the path of spiritualization is actually considered to be very difficult. And as we mentioned, scientists, philosophers, religionists, they have a very difficult time if they don't approach Krishna in the proper means. The transparent via media, they can't see properly. Just as I can't see properly without my glasses. So in the same way, it behooves us to take shelter of this form of the spiritual master and his words. And by getting this knowledge, That knowledge alone is so pure and transcendental that it burns to ashes all these fruitive activities, all these sinful reactions. And that's how we become pure. So we have to have faith in this process, because it says for the doubting soul, there's never perfection nor any happiness. We can't doubt it. You may be performing devotional service, but if you're doubting, oh, is this really true? If I just focus on Krishna, is everything going to happen? We can't doubt that. Because with your doubts, you will not get that realization. So we have to slash these doubts by continually hearing this transcendental knowledge, and we become purified. So we heard from Amla Bhakta yesterday about Durvasa Muni. There's another pastime with Durvasa Muni, how he realized the truth, this truth, transcendental truth. We know that Durvasa Muni is an incarnation, actually, of Lord Shiva. He's a partial expansion of Shankar. So by his mystic power, you know, he wanted to see Krishna. He knew that Krishna was the Lord of all lords, and that he could tell from his mystic potency that Krishna actually took his birth in Vrindavan and is having wonderful pastimes. So he goes, let me go see this little baby. He was in Gokula, Mahavan. So he went there, and he went on the bank of the Jamuna, and there he saw Gopal Krishna. And what was he doing? Krishna was there wrestling with his friends. You know, he was just Gopal. He was like a little baby boy. He was rolling on the ground. His body was so beautiful. It was more charming than millions of Kamadevs. And what was Krishna wearing? He was only wearing the four directions. And he was covered with dirt and dust. And he was being jumped upon by his tower boy friends. And he was jumping on them. And Durvasa Muni, he was like, he couldn't conceive, is this the absolute truth? The Lord of Lakshmi? The proprietor of Vaikuntha? And he was thinking, well, maybe this is perhaps Krishna, the son of Nanda, but Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, I'm not sure. He was bewildered. So then this little Krishna, with his naked body covered with dust, he ran and jumped on Durvasa Muni's lap. And then he jumped down from his lap, and then he ran away, and then he ran around, and then he came back, and then he looked at Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni looked at him, and he was bewildered. This is God? It must be somebody else I'm looking for. And then Krishna went back, and then Krishna started to laugh. And then when Krishna laughed, Durvasa Muni got sucked in his mouth. And then Durvasa Muni was in his mouth, and he started looking around, and it was so vast. It was amazing. He saw huge forests, these huge, gigantic trees. And then he started walking around and thinking, where am I? What's this? He didn't know where he was. And then through all these trees, he saw the whole world. And within the world, he saw this gigantic, huge mountain that had this snow-capped top. So Durvasa Muni climbed on top of this huge mountain. And there he began to perform severe tapasya. He was fasting, no sleep. He was controlling his breath, his mind. For 1 billion years, he was doing that. And then at the end of Brahma's day, that was when the pralaya was about to take place, there was this massive rainfall, and the whole earth, practically the whole universe, became inundated by this gigantic ocean. And Durvasa Muni was submerged in this ocean, and he was floating, and he was being pushed around by the waves for 1,000 yuga cycles. Just remember, all this is going on in Krishna's little mouth, the baby Krishna. So then he happened to see another universe. So by his mystic power, he traveled to that universe, and he went through all the heavenly planets up to Brahmaloka. And then in Brahmaloka, he remained there for one lifetime of Brahma. And we know one lifetime of Brahma is trillions upon trillions of years. How many trillions? Wow, just see. 311,400,000,000,000 years. So then after the end of Brahma's Loka, after his life, was all destroyed. Then Devasamuni happened to see a hole in the universe. And he saw there's a way out of here. So he went through that hole. And he entered into this vast ocean. And that was the Karna Ocean. And there he saw trillions and trillions upon trillions of different universes. They were everywhere. And beyond these universes, he saw that river called the Viraja River. That's what separates the material world from the spiritual worlds. And then he entered into the spiritual sky. And then he went beyond the Vaikuntha planets, and he went all the way up to Goloka. And there, in Goloka, he saw millions and millions of these beautiful kandama trees, these tamal trees. And there's millions and millions of gopas and gopis, sarabi cows. And there he saw that beautiful Govardhan Hill. So beautiful, Govardhan Hill. It supplies everything for Krishna. And then he saw that wonderful celestial river, the Jamuna. And then in one of those forests, he was seeing so much bright light emanating. And the light was like this, the intensity of millions and millions of suns. And then he entered into that light. And then he saw within the light there was a lotus flower. And that lotus flower had hundreds and thousands of petals. And then sitting upon that lotus flower, he was enveloped by this unlimited light. And who was there on top of that lotus flower? Was that beautiful child, Gopal, Krishna. And then when Durvasamuni saw him, he went to surrender to his lotus feet, you know, to offer his prostrated obeisances before him. But just at that time, the beautiful Lord who was sitting in that lotus flower, he began to laugh. And just when he started laughing, that's when Durvasamuni came out of his mouth. Can you imagine that? Just bringing the point of this verse, how everything is in Krishna. Krishna is in everything. So Devarasamuni had this realization. And then Krishna was there. He came out. Krishna was still playing with his friends. And he was smiling there naked, full of dust and dirt, you know, from Vrajabhumi. So here is Devarasamuni. He offered his obeisances. And then he understood that actually, Krishna, you're the cause of all causes. You're the supreme absolute truth. And that was the most perfect realization by the most elevated yogis. The most elevated yogis, they surrender to Krishna. He's the Lord of Radha. He's the Lord of the universe. You know, and he's so wonderful. He comes in the form of a child just playing with his friends covered with dust. So this is the realization of Devasamuni and all great seers of the truth. So you could go throughout different pastimes through the Krishna book. The same Lord Brahma had a similar realization. That's a whole other story. You know, how he saw Krishna. How could this be Krishna playing with these boys in this forest and they're taking lunch together and they're still in each other's food? Krishna is eating with his left hand. So he goes, let me test. So that's a whole other story. So that's very nice. So just this one thing, if we focus on Krishna, we'll have everything. And it's so easy for us in this age. Srila Prabhupada writes here, just see one thing we can focus on and we'll have everything. I'll read what Prabhupada says here. Ancient India's Vedic literature singles out one mantra as the Maha, supreme mantra. In the Kali Santara Upanishad explains, these 16 words, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, are especially meant for counteracting the ill effects of the age of confusion and quarrel. And the Narada Pancharatra adds, all understanding, all mantras, and all processes for self-realization are compressed into 8 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That was 16. 8 ends at the first Hari Hari. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exalts, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality Godhead, your holy name alone can render all benediction to all living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, the reservoir of pleasure. In these transcendental names, you invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, You enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. The name Krishna means all-attractive one. And the name Rama means, O all-attractive, all-pleasing Lord. O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Jai. So this is our goal. This one thing. Krishna and his name. So any comments, questions? Yes, sir, Prabhu. Yeah, I didn't read it there either. But I'm just repeating what Rana said, Rana Swami's class. So I'm just repeating what the sadhu say. Sorry. Any other comments, realizations? Yes, go ahead. Here comes the mic. Okay, changed his mind. All right, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.